Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double X, anytime, man.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
Yes, you are, and a very happy Friday to you on this 17th day of September. Steven Strom here. Strom Sports Show, episode 164 on the great TalkNorth.com. And the Strom Sports Show is brought to you by Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Strom at Manscaped.com. Today, we have Vince Murata, the co-host of Binkley and Murata on Arizona Sports 98.7. Every day, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. He's also a writer at ArizonaSports.com. That means that we are going to preview the Vikings and Cardinals game. I know there's probably a lot of panic out in the Minnesota world right now after what we saw against Cincinnati, but we will preview that. We'll get a little bit of a feel for how the Vikes and Zimmer can slow down Kyler Murray and that offense that looked really, really sharp last week. Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray. And then on the other side of the ball, Chandler Jones, who's coming off a 5-sack game. And you look at the offensive line of the Vikings and how they played. I mean, that's got to double it, right? 10 sacks in a game. That's what you're probably thinking. That's what I'm thinking. So we will get into a little bit of the previewing of the Vikings in Cardinals game. I do think we are going to see a bounce back. We also will do my guarantees, my NFL guarantees. 2-1 last week. Very good start to the NFL season. So we'll get all of that going in just a bit here. But I do want to start with a little reflection of the Vikings game, and we'll kind of go into the Arizona game with Vince Murata coming up in a little bit as well. So here's just a couple of takeaways. And listen, everyone has heard them so far. Everyone is probably sick of talking about the Cincinnati game. The most important thing to me is that this game would not have been a game going into overtime if Zach Taylor doesn't make that decision. And there is a side to me that almost, if you could take away a silver lining of losing this game, it's, hey, we can't play this way and expect to win. We can't. The Vikings didn't deserve to win that game, and Cincinnati did all they could do to give away that game. Starting with Zach Taylor and going for it on 4th-and-2, up 21-7, the way that defense was playing, or maybe just the way the Vikings offense was playing, the fact that they ended up going for it in that situation, a lot of people probably thought they deserved to lose. But ultimately, Dalvin Cook's fumble, which I think we all agree probably wasn't a fumble, you can't play like that and expect to win. So I think the message this week going into this game is new slate. And with what Vince will tell us, look, Arizona was sloppy early on in the Tennessee game, and Tennessee was bad. How many times do we look at week one and we think that's probably not going to be the same team that we see in a month or two, right? And that's just kind of how it goes. You could make the case that there's some overreaction for the Cardinals and how great they played, and there's some overreaction the way the Vikings played. The one constant, though, and the one thing that really will dictate this season, and we've heard it multiple times, and we've heard about it in training camp, and we've heard about it for years now. If this offensive line cannot come together, and there's no escaping it, right? We can't go out and trade for someone. You can't redraft what you did with Christian Darrisaw. You can't do any of those things. So you're stuck with Ezra Cleveland, Brian O'Neill, Bradbury, Uda, all those guys. Like, unless you can somehow trade for someone, this is what we got here. And if this offensive line can't come together as a group and can't protect Kirk Cousins and open up holes for Dalvin Cook, this is going to be a really long year. I don't think there's... We can sit here and there is some blame to share. Kirk Cousins, the defense, the corners, you know, even early on in the game, you felt like the front four wasn't putting enough pressure on Burrow. All of that doesn't mean squat. It doesn't, because the offensive line is the pivotal piece to a successful season for the Minnesota Vikings. It is a domino effect. They don't block for Cousins. That means Cousins can't sit in the pocket, which means sacks, which means the defense plays more, which means Dalvin Cook can't get going, which means Adam Thielen can't get open, and Jefferson. That is where this team starts, offensive line. And it's going to be a challenge this weekend against the Arizona Cardinals. You just came off a game where you finished with 12 penalties. I think it was 14. I think 12 were called against them. You have to look at each other and say, look, that's not going to get any worse, right? Even Viking fans, and raising my hand, Viking fan, you have to assume, hey, we're not going to have 12 penalties here. We have to assume they're not going to be as bad as what they were against Cincinnati. And then you looked at, all right, they only lost by three, and then we took them to overtime, and we played that bad. What happens if we're a little bit more competent on the offensive line? And that's what the positive Viking fans that are going into this weekend, that's how you have to look at it. I mean, that's the only way you can look at it. And for the negative ones, you know what? I feel you. I feel you. Cousins is what he is. And that's pretty much the sad story about this is, you know, even if the Vikings go out and they have this great performance and they beat Arizona, we sort of know what the ceiling is. We sort of know how high the Vikings can get unless Kirk Cousins takes, you know, mobility lessons, an immobile quarterback, and a bad offensive line. When is that equal consistent winning ever in this league? And the Vikings have both of those things right now. Kirk Cousins isn't getting any faster, and this offensive line isn't getting any better. So one of them has to break, right? One of them has to step up. Whether it's improv with Kirk Cousins, which is one of his biggest flaws, him not being able to escape the pocket, extend a play, and make a throw. And then the offensive line, who just gets bullied. And I like Brian O'Neill. It's a lot of money you just gave him. And I don't know if Brian O'Neill is the best offensive lineman on a lot of NFL teams right now. And that kind of speaks to the volume of where the depth of this team on the offensive line lies. So going in to this game, and we will preview it. I just want to give you my thought and my state right now on the Minnesota Vikings. It's week one, but if this offensive line does not change, this is going to be a very, very long season. And I think that the way that you're hearing Mike Zimmer speak in press conferences, you heard it at halftime when he talked to Jen Hale, the Fox reporter that came on, and he basically said Kirk Cousins is holding on to the ball too long. Those types of things I've never heard said at one another. And Cousins doesn't say anything about Zimmer, but Zimmer says a lot about Cousins. There's got to be a breaking point for one of these two guys. And right now, if I was a betting man, I would say at the end of this 2021-22 year, one of those guys is gone. And it's most likely going to be Zimmer because that Cousins contract is immovable right now. But the way that these guys are interacting, I honestly, even if they did win, even if they turn this thing around and they go, you know, whatever, they win 10-11 games, I just don't know how much longer Zimmer can take Cousins and vice versa. And Cousins is so passive. He will never say anything bad about Zimmer. But every human gets to a breaking point. And if this game in Cincinnati is any indication of what it's going to look like, because Zimmer takes care of the defense, right? That's his thing. If he just, you can see it last game, like him sitting there watching Cousins get hit, hold on to the ball, not throwing down the field. You can see his ears turning red and the steam coming out. And there's nothing he can really say to him on the field. He's just going to passively, aggressively say it in these press conferences and these halftime reports that he's been consistently doing. So we will see here if that's going to be a continuing issue with the halftime stuff, with the post-game stuff, and we'll get a first glimpse of that on Sunday afternoon. And it's going to be another interesting game as the Vikings look to win their first game of the year. All right, let's get to the most important thing. The most important thing. It's not Vince Murata, and he was great. And it's not my segment. It's Steve's NFL guarantees.
It's time for Steve's three NFL guarantees.
Really good start, 2-1, week one. Needed that. You know, it's so different. When you go 1-2, and then you go 1-2 again, it just adds up. It feels like it adds up when you lose, but then when you're winning, it's like, why am I not separating? But a 2-1 week is a very good week in my mind. Under 44, Pats, Dolphins. That was my bet of the week, lock of the week. Really happy about that one. Steelers plus 6.5. Easy. One outright. And then under 44, Jags, Texans. My gosh, what a brutal game that was. Texans put up 35 points. Jags are going to be bad this year. And that was one of my season bets for you guys. Under 6.5 for the Jags. Man, it's looking like under 2.5. For those two. That was supposed to be a given for the Jags. The only reason why the Jags were at 6.5 was because the Texans were the same division as them. How about that? Texans take it to them. So that bet's looking pretty. But all right, week two, here we go. First one, I am down here in Miami, and I am adopting a little bit of the fan base, a little bit, but not this weekend. Bills minus 2.5 at Miami. Bills came off a really disappointing home opener against Pittsburgh. Miami coming off a very, very high win in New England. Maybe a little bit of motion. To be honest with you, this is a big response week for me. That's why I like the Bills. I like Josh Allen to respond. I just don't know how much Miami can score. The Bills' defense is okay. But looking at this Bills team, they need to win this game, divisional game. I think the Bills respond and win in Miami. Give me the Bills minus 2.5. Next one, Titans plus 5.5. Do I like it? I love it. This is, again, strictly about the response from Tennessee. They were embarrassed last week against Arizona. Taylor Lewan, oh my gosh, five sacks given up. There has to be a response from Vrabel. I mean, there just has to be. 5.5 is a lot of points. I if this is a game, I think a couple weeks down the road, even if they got blown out by Arizona, this is not 5.5. 5.5 is a lot of points. Seattle looked really good last week. But I'm going to roll with the Titans. I think Derrick Henry has another one of those games where he controls it, right? And he's coming off a very poor performance against Arizona. That was just a bad game for Tennessee. Same thing with the Vikings. Bad game. Response week. Titans plus 5.5. Derrick Henry controls the game. I think that Ryan Tannehill bounces back. Show me something, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. That team is way too talented to go down like they did in week one, again in week two. Give me the Titans plus 5.5. Last one. What do they say? Don't fix something that's not broken. Pats unders. That's what we're going this year. Pats, Jets, under 42. 42 is so many, like, so much points. So much points for this game. The Pats don't score. The Pats play incredible defense. They're old school. Belichick likes to run the ball, control the clock. And the Jets, we saw what they looked like in Carolina. This is a completely different defense. 42 points. I don't even know if any team gets over 21 points. Individual. I just really don't. I like the Pats, Jets, under 42. So in review, Bills minus 2.5. Titans plus 5.5 on the road, Seattle. And then the Pats and the Jets under 42. Those are your week two Steve's NFL guarantees. Hey, and you know what else is a guarantee in life? And this is attention. Gamblers of all shapes and sizes, our friends at Manscaped, have a can't-miss bet for you today. A can't-miss bet. So it's not like you're going 2-1 here like I did in week one. Still good. 2-1 is still good. But you're not 3-0, not undefeated, not a guaranteed win. And Manscaped has you covered. The leaders in male grooming just launched their fourth-generation performance package. The betting odds are in your favor when you use a lawnmower 4.0 downstairs. Across the board, this is the package to get you in the mood for whatever your gambling heart desires. Ready to take the leap to male grooming royalty? 2 million men already have, including yours truly. They sent me the lawnmower. They sent me the weed whacker. Incredible, incredible products. So please, if you haven't already, join the Manscaped movement by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code STROM, S-T-R-O-M, Steven Strom. Make sure to check out manscaped.com for 20% off. You can go on your phone, you can go on your laptop, and free shipping with the code STROM, S-T-R-O-M. All right, here we go. Vikings, Cardinals, Vince Marotta. Let's preview it. He's up next here on the STROM Sports Show. All right, Vince Marotta, he's with us now, co-host of Bickley and Marotta on Arizona Sports 98.7. You can listen to that every day, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Also a writer at arizonasports.com, PA announcer for the Phoenix Suns. I mean, this guy does it all. He's here to preview the Vikings and the Cardinals game. Vince, Steven Strom here. I really appreciate you carving out some time for me today. How's everything going?
Going well, Steven. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. My first question, because I think when radio broadcasters, we want to get into this business. You have a show that is 6 to 10 a.m., and I wanted to just get away from the Cardinals Vikes real quick. Can you just give us your sleep schedule? Give us a day in the life right now of Vince Marotta.
Well, it's still being worked out. Me and my partner did middays for 8 years, and we just started the morning shift last week, the day after Labor Day. So it's still a work in progress. All I can tell you is I think about sleep a lot and when I'm going to get it, and I'm not getting a ton of it just yet. So I'll let you know when I get it all worked out.
Let's do a little bit of last week, because I'm sure a lot of Vikings fans did not get to watch the Cardinals game. Can you kind of give us a spark notes version of what you saw on Sunday? We know Kyler Murray played off the charts. We know Chandler Jones had 5 sacks. Just kind of give us a rundown of how this happened in Tennessee.
It's a great question. I didn't expect it at all. I did not see the Tennessee Titans that I thought I would see. And I think the Cardinals get a lot of credit for making them look so inept. We saw a lack of real offensive adjustments. Once Chandler Jones started imposing his will on Taylor Lewan and the rest of that offensive line, Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator for Tennessee, didn't really give anybody any help. So it just was kind of a ball rolling downhill. Like you said, Kyler Murray played really well. The Cardinals were sloppy early on, and that might have been a residual from taking that strategy of not playing their starters in the preseason very much at all. Of course, they had a preseason game wiped out by Hurricane Ida, so they only had 2 to work with. But they worked out the kinks, and it was honestly, you know, now in year 3 of the Cliff Kingsbury coaching era, if you want to call it that, that was the most impressive and complete win I think the Cardinals have had against what I still think could be a pretty good team in Tennessee.
I agree. I mean, listen, week 1, there's a lot of you can make the case there's some overreaction with how, you know, the Vikings did not look very well. I mean, first to admit that, but even like Tennessee's going to go to Seattle this week. I expect them to bounce back, and I expect the Vikings to bounce back and at least play a little bit better than they did. Maybe not 12 penalties on the offensive line. But let's do Kyler Murray here. I love Kyler. Watched him at Oklahoma. You know, from the games that he has struggled in, what's been the common thread? Like if Mike Zimmer is sitting next to me, you know, what would you tell him that you've noticed where Kyler Murray has struggled?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of those games mixed in when he was a rookie, and I think that was chalked up to inexperience. And the Cardinals weren't very good. They were a 5-win team that year. Last year, when he struggled, I believe it was due to injury. You know, the Cardinals were 6-3 at one point after the Hail Mary pass to beat Buffalo, and he hurt his shoulder. And there was a hesitance to run. And when Kyler Murray is running, getting out of the pocket, making plays with his legs, this Cardinals offense goes. He had 1 of his 11 touchdowns on the ground in the second half of the season. So I think that was the biggest, the biggest factor on why he struggled last year. I thought it was pretty refreshing to hear Mike Zimmer today talk about, you know, it's not realistic to expect to keep a guy like that in the pocket. No. So I'm curious to see what the defensive attack against Kyler Murray looks like, because he was a lot of times in week 1, he was just in command of the game and did pretty much whatever he wanted.
Very curious to see that game plan plays out, because they do have the front 4 last week against Cincinnati. I think a lot of people were decently, satisfied with. Pierce had 2 sacks. He opted out last year. Defensive tackle from Baltimore. Danielle Hunter, we know how great he is. So it is going to be a very interesting game plan for Mike Zimmer. Let's do Patrick Peterson, because you obviously covered him for quite a while. What sort of happened towards the end of his tenure with the Cardinals and why this sort of separated towards the end?
There's been a number of things, some of it not Patrick Peterson's fault. I think the struggles kind of started when he was putting on weight, and this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and he couldn't figure out why. It turns out he was diabetic, so he learned how to deal with that. That's no fault of his own. I think the play dropped off a little bit. He made a trade request that he rescinded on, and the play dropped off. I mean, he wasn't the same type of player the last 2 or 3 years in Arizona. And I think, after last season, all things considered, it was a pretty easy decision to move on from Patrick Peterson. Now the Cardinals rebounded by bringing in Malcolm Butler on a 1-year deal. And that has been a disaster so far, because Malcolm Butler has walked away from football and hasn't been with the team. But Patrick Peterson in his late years in Arizona kind of became a divisive figure. And, one of the things I'm curious about Sunday is how he's received by the fans at State Farm Stadium. I know there's a lot of fans, of Patrick Peterson are still going to be pulling for him, but there's a lot of people that have kind of turned around their feelings on Patrick Peterson. He was oddly curious about the everyday happenings of what was going on in Arizona while he was in Minnesota, all the way down to, I think getting a little butt hurt that Malcolm Butler was wearing number 21. So there's some curiosity there as well. Great player, no doubt about it. I mean, a guy who made 8 Pro Bowls in Arizona, 3-time All Pro, and obviously as a rookie, 4 punt returns for a touchdown. So he was electrifying. The last few years just were not good for him.
Vince Murata, he's with us now, previewing Cardinals, Vikings, and we're going to get into some storylines, but I did have an overall question for you. Again, you've covered this team for a while now. DeAndre Hopkins, week in and week out, he just seems to make some impressive catch. One of the greatest wide receivers that I personally am 23. But another legend out there is Larry Fitzgerald, obviously not playing right now. If you could compare and contrast these two great wide receivers, you know, what would be some of those comparisons? What would be some of those similarities? But what would be ultimately the ones maybe that differed between the two?
The similarity, the obvious one is the hands. I mean, the two receivers with the greatest hands that you'll ever see. I know Larry Fitzgerald would be number one on a lot of people's list of best hands ever in the NFL. DeAndre Hopkins, similar set of hands. I think he probably has a penchant to make the more difficult catch, and that's not a knock on Larry Fitzgerald, who could also do that. The difference for me is DeAndre Hopkins now has played 17 games as a Cardinal. And they've used him predominantly lining up on the left. If you see his route tree from last week, it looked a lot like it did last year, where he lined up left and pretty much, you know, the bulk of the damage he did was on that side of the field, whereas he moved around in Houston more. They also moved Larry Fitzgerald around more over the years and over the different offenses that they ran. I think he was a little bit more versatile in where he lined up and where he could hurt defenses from. But, you know, there are a lot of similarities between the two. Neither one is a, you know, a speed burner. But, you know, the hands is the first thing that stands out.
For sure. So last week, Arizona held Derrick Henry to just 58 yards. They get Dalvin Cook this week. What's the Cardinals' run defense expectations coming into this year? And I guess, do you expect sort of the same approach? I mean, they're two great backs, but they are different. You know, Dalvin's a lot more active as far as receptions, where Henry's a lot more, let's give it to him 35 times and just let him run.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big surprises of week one about the Cardinals for me is how they were able to contain Derrick Henry. And, you know, you tend to break down week one of the NFL for weeks leading up to it because it just seems like a never-ending period of time to get there. So we looked at all the possibilities. And even when the schedule came out in the springtime, you're like, oh, man, the Cardinals have got to face Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook in weeks one and two with questions on the defensive line and obviously a lot of youth and inexperience at the linebacker position. So what they did on Sunday, setting the tone early, Derrick Henry's first two carries were for negative yards. While the game was in the balance, and even though the Cardinals were up 18 at halftime, he had 9 carries for 8 yards, and he padded his stats in the third quarter, even though they were down by 18 points.
Right.
So I think that's got to give them confidence. Can they repeat it? I'm not sure. I also think, you know, getting on top of Tennessee, that's not really a team in my estimation that's good at coming from behind. I don't think they can drop back and throw it 50 times to get back into games, where I think the Vikings are a little bit more comfortable doing that. I would be surprised if they repeat that performance, quite honestly. And I know Cincinnati did a pretty good job on Cook. I didn't watch that game in its entirety, and I'm all that familiar with the game flow. But I would be surprised if the Cardinals can repeat that run defense performance from a week ago.
Vince, the only reason why that game got into overtime is because Zach Taylor decided to go on 4th-and-2 from his own 20-yard line up 21-7. It was just one of the most baffling decisions that that I've seen in quite some time. And that really sparked the comeback for the Vikings. But overall, I mean, that offensive line was in trouble the entire day. Let's do a little bit of your thought on the Vikes, because here, you know, Minnesotans, we are just negative after week one. What's sort of your thought on the Vikings coming into this year?
The same thought that I've had, I guess it starts at the quarterback position with Kirk Cousins, who is kind of a confounding figure to me. When Kirk Cousins is good, he can be among the best quarterbacks in the league. It's just not consistently good. And when he's not good, he can be one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. You know, obviously Dalvin Cook stands out, that the receiving duo of Jefferson and Thielen is among the best in the game. Defensively, I'm more impressed with the resume, quite honestly, of Mike Zimmer as a defensive coach than I am with what I've seen from the Vikings defense in the last year plus, but the potential is there. To me, it starts with Kirk Cousins. Which Kirk Cousins is going to show up from week to week? And then I can tell you, pretty much what Vikings team is going to show up.
Final question for you. What are some storylines that you'll be looking at that will, you think, might determine the outcome of this game a little bit?
I want to see, what the Vikings do in terms of slowing down the pass rush. It was alarming to see Chandler Jones dominate a game that way. But also on the other side, again, the lack of adjustments. I'd be shocked if Minnesota is not better prepared to slow down that pass rush. And if they do key a little bit more on Chandler Jones, what does that do for J.J. Watt, who had, you know, the more quiet game in week one? But that's why the Cardinals wanted to pair these two, because if you slow down one, you key on one, it frees up the other, and they both can wreak havoc. So that's one of them. And obviously with this game being in Arizona, the Patrick Peterson thing for me is fascinating. I think it's going to be mixed. And I think, you know, listening to some of the quotes and reading some of the quotes from Patrick this week, he's a little unsure of what to expect. He did say earlier in the offseason, the only time I'm ever going back to Arizona is week two when we play them and when I get into the Ring of Honor. And I think that rubs some people the wrong way. And I want to see how he performs, quite honestly. And I know Mike Zimmer came out today and said he thought Patrick Peterson played well. He didn't get tested a lot in that game against Cincinnati. No. But, you know, the matchup between he and DeAndre Hopkins, is he going to be the guy that's following Hopkins all day? Do they give different looks? The Cardinals receiving core looked really deep and really dangerous against Tennessee too. So they might not have a lot of choices there.
Yeah. Christian Kirk had a really nice game as well. Vince, I really appreciate you jumping on today. Again, catch him on Arizona Sports 98.7 every day, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. writer at arizonasports.com. Vince, again, thank you again for carving out some time for me today. Enjoy the rest of your week, and may the best man win on Sunday.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Vince.
Thank you.
May the best man win. Jeez, like I'm on the team. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I really do appreciate it. Vince Murata, big shout-out to you, Brandon Morton, Jim Suhan. Make sure to check out all the other shows on the network. Shel Reeves Show, they're doing live pods now. That's really great stuff up there in Minnesota. Russo, LaPanta, you've got Krasinski. We have the Sports Equinox coming up here in about a month, right? We got hockey back. We have basketball back, football, college football, playoff baseball. Very exciting stuff here for sports fans. I appreciate you guys listening. As always, you have any questions, any comments, anything you want to add to the pod, at @SSTROM_ on Twitter. Make sure to hit me up. Again, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next Friday here on the Strom Sports Show.